I took my little sister for a walk after heavy rain, and she fell off the bridge into the stream and drowned and disappeared.
One day I just woke up and I thought, I'm not fulfilled, there's got to be more. And this awakening started within me.
We've assembled a discussing intelligent use of drugs.
When you're attempting to heal your heart, to connect back to your lost soul.
Most people are denying and resisting the medicine journey because they're scared of...
But the medicine is just so smart, it's telling you because you're looking for the answers to heal. It will support you for the truth.
Just don't take yourself and life too seriously. Enjoy it. Lighten up. That's why the value of freedom is such a huge thing.
How would you describe the experience when you're in it?
Healing modalities can help to expand consciousness, like help people to understand the self.
Is that a real thing that you've seen and experienced? What is up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. This one is really, really interesting. It actually, I think, might be one of my favorite, if not my favorite episode to date. It is completely different to what we've ever done. We have Peter and Roxanne here today from the Sunshine Coast, who are in the works at the moment with a TV show on Netflix, and they've already produced two other shows. They are doing some fascinating stuff. They have basically changed their life from being insurance agents to, I don't know what to describe what they do, spiritually awakened people. They have gone deep into the world of plant medicine, ayahuasca, psilocybin, DMT, Sonoran desert toad, bufo, all these terms what we learned about today. Their Netflix show that they're in discussions about, they actually traveled from here in Australia to Los Angeles and filmed themselves learning about these plant medicines and then actually doing them live on camera and having the whole thing filmed. And so James and I went deep into how you do these retreats, what actually happens on each of these different things, and why should people be doing them. And there is some incredibly raw personal moments in this that are just, I don't know, leave you speechless as to the profound nature of the insights that were learned and experienced in these very unique states of human consciousness. So with that said, I hope you enjoy it. Please like and subscribe if you do like it and comment below. Let us know that you're enjoying this content. We're here because we want to help people be free. And you'll hear Pete mention this in the pod. Really, this is just another aspect of experiencing freedom as a human. We hope you enjoy it. Bye for now. What is up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. This episode promises to be quite different to anything else we've ever done on Unemployable. We are joined today by two friends of ours, actually, who we've known for many years, who have a legit interesting journey in their life and business that holds a lot of lessons for unemployable people, people who want to be creative and want to explore new, not just new horizons professionally, but personally and spiritually. And these guys are really a great example of people taking a hard right turn in their life and just exploring something that's close to their heart and soul and really in that sense. Before we get into it, I just want to welcome, of course, my good friend James Denham. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. I'm so glad to have these guys here. They've been good friends of ours. We met pretty much at the same time about 8 years ago. And as you said, to see their journey and take a proper hard right has been certainly interesting to watch, and built great friendship during this process. So I'm super pumped to unpack it all with these guys today.
Mm. So with that said, welcome to the podcast, Peter and Roxy. How are you both?
Well, thanks for having us, guys. It's great to be here and catch up again, have a chat.
Man, looking at you across here, just for listeners at home, these guys live on the beautiful Sunshine Coast. They have a beautiful property in the hinterland there. And I first met these guys when they were in the insurance business. They had their own insurance company. They joined our Amazon seller community and learned how to sell products online. And they did really well. And they ended up on our stage at our biggest event ever with John Howard as the keynote. And Roxy got up and won the crowd over with a hell of a speech talking about how hard it was being a mum and You know, I still remember the line.
Oh yes, sir. I do too. It was hilarious.
It won the whole audience.
It's about working away and a milk dripping over the keyboard.
No, you said, all right, I'm trying to breastfeed. My boob's leaking and this is happening and that's happening. And every mum in the audience went, I love you, Roxanne. Thank you for being there for us women and us girls. And it was such a human moment in that event. And you became a star at that moment. I remember how nervous you were before you went on. So you absolutely crushed. But anyway, why don't we start at the beginning with you guys, because maybe just to start off, because I know this is going to go on a bit of a journey and it's going to take people to places that are, you know, kind of challenging and maybe some people are going to find confronting. Just tell us where you were before all this happened, before you were talking to Netflix, before you had a show on Gaia Network, before you've become kind of famous in your niche now. You were like two normal small business owners. So just take us to there and then how, and then the journey into this world of, you know, experimenting with every pretty much, what's the word, plant medicine, this whole spiritual realm of aliens and stuff like that. So why don't you start us at the beginning?
Do you want to go?
I'll go.
Yeah, you could go.
Well, we were doing the insurance, like you guys know, and selling on the side on Amazon and quite successful. And one day I just woke up and I thought, I'm not fulfilled. There's got to be more. And this awakening started within me. And so I thought Pete was the issue. So I moved out of the house for a week and said it's over. And that was the start of our awakening. I realized that, okay, it's not him, it's me. I was getting triggered by the male. And that just lit a light in him to have an awakening as well. And so we kind of started discovering that this was actually a thing, having an awakening. And this was in 2019, so 5 years ago now.
So you just woke up one day.
Yep.
I'm not happy.
Yeah.
You set off a hand grenade in your marriage.
Yeah.
So take us to that, Pete. What was that like on the other side of that? Like what was that like being a dude with your wife just saying, you're the problem, I'm out?
With two kids.
Yeah.
And me, and in him.
First of all, it's a relief to hear it's not you, it's me. And at the same time, things had been going on that had me curious. So I had a brother who worked on the tugboats and for all intents and purposes, a dream life. 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off, great money. Over in WA, he comes home, we have a family dinner. He announces to everyone, on the next swing, when I come home, I'm going to go to Costa Rica and do plant medicine. I'm like, oh yeah, what's that? And he goes, it's ayahuasca. I'm like, oh yeah, never heard of it. And he sets off talking all about that. And I eventually get to the point at this thing where I'm curious, but it got to the point where my father decided to go with my brother. And my youngest brother, who was hooked on video games and smoking pot, he went as well. And they all went off to Costa Rica, had an amazing experience and came back and were telling us all about that. So I had that going on the one hand. And then Roxy's been talking about this awakening that had been going on. I mean, of course, you don't tell anyone when you're having moments like that, right? You know? The missus moves out for a week, is like, I'm not happy and I don't know what's wrong. And she's upset and crying and I don't know what it is. And there's all these different things coming up in me. And it was like she was lost, but that was the moment where she knew she was lost and she like realized it. And this is part of what that awakening process is. It was almost like the realization of I don't know myself. I am lost to myself. And that was going on like in the family. And then this was going on with Roxy saying that. And all, it was like by default, all I knew what to do was to hold space for her. And what that meant was if she was upset or working through something and needed time alone, I'd just take the boys and we'd go to the beach or I'd, reassure and be there. And eventually she started sort of working through it and realizing that there are a lot of underlying childhood patterns and issues that were coming to the surface that I was being the trigger for, but it wasn't me, it was her, right? There were issues to do with
males and masculinity in the family, and to do with all sorts of underlying like abuse type issues and mistreatment. And these were becoming more evident as Roxy learned to find herself and become more self-aware. I reckon that's fair to say.
Yeah, yeah. And so from there, the family came back from Costa Rica and were sharing their stories. And Pete looked at me and goes, I think we need to go. And I was like, oh, my God. I didn't think he would want to go because I think it was too out there for him. But I knew that I needed to go to heal, to get through what I, you know, was what was coming up for me. So 2 months later, we got on the plane and we were there and we did 4 nights of ayahuasca plant medicine with good shamans at a really nice resort, a retreatment center called Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. And the beautiful family, the plant medicine family, held us through these experiences. And when we're doing ayahuasca, it's showing you who you've become, right? So the psychedelics will kick in and it's like a pinta, which is like a picture showing you the psychedelic picture. It can be a consulta as well, where it speaks to you. And we basically learn who we'd become, you know, and who we, how we judge people, how we thought about ourselves, how we didn't love ourselves, all these different things from our childhood was shown to us. So it's very clear when you see that, you start to make the change. And so as we started going through this process, we started merging back with our soul and opening up our heart, because a lot of us are in our head and working from that analytical brain, like with force to satisfy the ego, you know, to really dive into the ego. And that's what we call the third dimension. You know, a lot of us are locked in that energy flow.
There's so many things I want to dive into. Before we jump over to Costa Rica, because I want to ask you a lot about that, because I know a lot of people are probably going to want a prescriptive unpacking of it.
Yeah.
That, like, where did you go? What was it like? Where I want to get into it. And then I want to go to the moment of you actually ingesting this stuff and when it kicked in and what the whole experience is actually like. But I just want to back up for a minute before we get ahead of ourselves, and I'm busting to get into this as well, but I just want to lay a little bit more for framework, because I think there's a lot of people right now, I am listening intently because I've been there recently, where I just woke up a year and a half ago and I'm not happy. I have absolutely everything and I'm not happy. I've got the Porsche and the nice house and everything, but I'm not happy, right? I know exactly this. Mm-hmm. And this deep feeling of dissatisfaction, it's funny how it can sometimes creep up and then manifest itself in the most perhaps inopportune time, as if there isn't an opportune time for this deep realization. There's not, right? But how old were your kids when you had this moment of just profound, like, Pete, we need to talk? Like,
3 and 6, our boys were. They're so very young.
So you had a 3 and a 6-year-old and you're running a small business together?
Yeah.
Is this the Amazon business?
This is the insurance business. So we had a cot room, a baby being fed by me. I'm on the calls, on the emails, because I was the head lead insurance broker. Pete was serving as well. And we had staff in the office, a cot room where the baby would sleep. And I just went, what are we doing?
And yeah, this is the thing about spiritual awakening, is that the reason I wanted to get to that moment and get clear about that is because that's where so many people are. They're like, oh, I would love to go to Costa Rica, but I've got 2 kids at my feet. How do I find the right moment to talk to my partner and say, honey, we need to talk, and they're maybe not as awake as you were and feel like they need to just run.
And also potentially been down the conventional models of, you know, counselling, marriage counselling, personal development sort of stuff. Like I know I've done a fair bit myself, and I'm at that sort of crossroads as well, where I'm at the point, and we've spoken a lot about it, is it's certainly on the docket for me, but because a lot of things haven't sort of come to fruition from conventional models.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you have this moment, and well done, Pete, for holding space, because that's not easy, right? It's easy just to fight and want to be right and get stuck in your ego and like, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and how can she not be happy? And this is all about me, right? Instead of it all being about your wife, which is really cool. So I just wanted to acknowledge you as a bloke for that, as blokes don't get acknowledged much for that sometimes.
Well, we want to solve everything, right? It's like when she's crying and upset, what's wrong? What are you crying about? So we can fix it. And to not do that, it's quite a challenge. And also to be cool within yourself. Like it's pretty hard to go to the beach and just relax and have a good time when you know she's at home crying and working through stuff, right? So It was a process, but yeah, no, thank you for that.
So, okay. So the two of you hear about this through your family, like, let's go over to Costa Rica and do some shit. right. So just talk us through that. So you buy your tickets and you've paid. So how much is one of these retreats to go to, roughly?
Oh, I think it was about $5,000
for two of you.
No, US.
$5,000 US.
Okay. And so, and that includes your accommodation, your food.
Everything in that one week, everything.
And when you get there, what is this? Is it like a resort that they've taken over? Is it a private home? Is it a specialist retreat? What is the story there?
Yeah, it's a resort. There are individual bungalows, let's call them. They're all joined up with the pool in the middle. There's a restaurant. All the meals are organic.
This is all they do there.
That's all they do.
So people come in from all over the world to do ayahuasca.
Yeah.
And it's legal there. It's not legal in Australia.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So you get over there with your suitcases. How are you feeling when you roll your suitcase through and you're just like, what's going to happen next?
Oh, man, because you're tired. It's a long way. It's a long way, you know. It's far just to LA. And then it's 6 hours from LA down to Costa Rica.
Okay.
So you're jet lagged. You're tired. You don't know what you're about to do. And it's hot. Like, you know, it's steamy and hot, and thank goodness this place is, I take my hat off to people who do it in a jungle hut in the mud and the rain and whatever, because I need my shower and my cold air conditioning and a swim in the pool and because even then it's tough, right, to do all this inner work. It's nice to be comfortable. I thank goodness we just went where my brother went, and it was pretty comfortable. But there were a lot of people there. How many? You reckon 70?
Yeah, there was 70 in the room. So yeah.
So there's this big circular maloka in the center of the property, polished wood floor, glass walls, fans, air conditioners, the whole bit. That's like where the ceremony space is, and they rotate the shaman and they fly them in from different parts of South America. So from one week to the next, there's a different shaman and there's a different guest speaker. So you might get Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup for the Soul one week. You might get Michael Beckwith, who's always involved with Rhythmia. Kelly Slater, the surfers, on the board of directors. There's like a whole list of names of people. I'm like, oh, hey, Ron White, who's that comedian? I heard of him on Joe Rogan, he's been there. Oh, you know, like you're seeing all these different names of people, some familiar, some vaguely, but they like list different people who have come. So then they give you the full medical, take your blood pressure, ask you what you're taking, ask all the history about this and that and the other. Luckily, I passed the medical, and that was all cool. And in we go for night one.
Right? Yeah.
So you're there for a couple of days beforehand, just chilling and doing the meds and all that stuff, or?
Yeah. So it's a program Sunday to Sunday, and the medicine night starts Monday night and goes Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Thursday night's an all-nighter. So you drink medicine sundown to sun up in the morning. And you think, how would I be okay after all of that?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got
this compared to some of the places that I've sort of looked online. This is like the Sheraton of ayahuasca resorts to go and do it at, because there's other places that you can go in the jungle in Peru and, like you said, rolling around the mud and that's certainly not. I'll get the ticket for that one.
So there's 70 of you in this place, and so you get there some sort of orientation and let you know what's going on, and then Monday night you have your first ceremony, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the people listening, what is a shaman and why are they so important to this journey?
The shaman basically, and one thing I'll just note on that too, by the way, just to make that really clear, is they're always getting in the shaman from different places because, you know, they like rotate. So it's not the same in-house one. And it helps to keep that energy of Mother Ayahuasca. And I think the process that they take you through, very, let's call it native influence. So the shaman follow a lineage, and it's almost like in the family. Like if the grandmother was a psychic or very psychic, then it's more likely that the daughter, the granddaughter could be a psychic in, you know, let's call it in the West, right? They've got that gift. Well, the shaman have got a gift, and the gift is to be able to not just serve the medicine, but speak with the spirits, hold the space. And I didn't know about any of this stuff beforehand. You know, speak to the spirits and hold space was an odd thing for me to hear until you experience it and you're like, whoa, what the heck's going on in this room? Look what the smoke's doing in the room. Far out, look what that music's doing. All the hairs on my arms are standing up on end. It's like something's going on, right? That's what I mean. Physiologically can feel like they're working with the energy to create the safe space for everyone to heal. And there weren't a lot of retreats in Costa Rica when we went 8 years ago. Now there's lots more. So we went last year and took a group of people to Costa Rica, back to the same place. And there was about 28 of us. And that was nice. We basically knew half the people in the room and different shaman, but the same beautiful experience, because they set they do the blessing, the cleanse, they play the music, they set the space so that then we can connect straight to, let's call it, the medicine, which is the magic. And then of course from there you connect to source, you connect to your higher self, you connect in with a spirit that just shows you the distortions, the things that aren't in alignment with intelligent infinity, the perfection in nature. We've got like those imperfections in us, and it just shows it to them in the different ways, through the visuals, through like getting spoken to. It's like there's a voice going, you know how sometimes you do this and you do that and you say that to yourself and you're hard on yourself, you shouldn't do that, and you go, oh shit, I do that, I shouldn't do it, and da, 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 you know, like talks you through. And sometimes it can be really confronting, you know, particularly with your relationship with yourself, because so often we're our own worst enemy, and the things that cause us to get so upset are within us, our attachments to stories or patterns that we picked up because we had to survive as a kid because of what was going on around us, you know. So that's what the ceremony and the shaman are setting up.
So walk us into that. So you're in this room, there's 70 of you in the room. Ayahuasca is a liquid, right? So it's like a soup, like a tea or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they mix this up and they pass you a bowl, and you look at each other and go, here we go.
Just bottoms up.
Bottoms up.
See yeah.
So like, how were you feeling at that moment? What actually happened? And then what happened in the moments? And, or I don't know anything about like the timing of this. Is it like kick in like 30 minutes later or an hour? What happens? Like, talk us through that. And then I want to ask you guys all what you just said, Peter, how would you describe the experience when you're in it? So just if you could walk us into the experience.
Well, you're definitely nervous going to ceremony, let me tell you that. And it's like, because your fears are going to be coming up and the truth is coming to you, maybe something that you're hiding all along in your life. So you can be very nervous, but we all line up and the shaman will serve in like a shot glass and you will drink the medicine. It's a liquid. And about, what, half an hour later, the medicine will start working. And you'll start to feel the effects in your body. And a lot of people are, they've got a lot of distortion in their system because of their diet or the state of their emotions, because they haven't looked at their healing like engine from when they're a child, when they split from their soul. So the body will start to ache and make movement and you'll feel sick. And sometimes people will purge. So it's a way of getting this distortion and making you well. So it's making you well by spewing and purging and getting the cellular data of that distortion out. And then you'll have the knowings drop in once that's cleared out of the way. The magic.
Just spewing.
So it can be in yawns. We've never spewed. Pete spewed once. We've done, 22 ceremonies now. I've never spewed. I've spewed like a tiny little bit in one ceremony. But there's a knack to understanding how the medicine works. So she comes through as a grandmother. It's a female energy and she's going to teach you some lessons. She's going to grab you by the cheek and she's going to pull that cheek and then she's going to kiss you at the end of the ceremony, right? So it's a lesson to expand with love. And so there's purging, like laughing, yawning, the big anaconda yawns, like, and that is getting like a lot of density and energy out of your jaw that maybe you've been suppressed because you weren't heard as a child or you're not heard in life, right? Or maybe it would manifest in overspeaking, so it has to be, you know, coming out like that. Shivers, laughing, I remember having a laughing moment with another person in the room. We're having a conversation laughing, and the shaman had to shush us down because it was just a way the medicine is working. And she can be very funny and reassuring as well. So it's not scary. It can be fun if you listen to her and listen to her instructions and surrender and say, yes, I'm sorry, I did do that. And say, yes, okay, I'll try and change. But when you fight it and you sit there and you go, no, I didn't do that, she'll get more intense and it'll get really overwhelming quickly, right? And so the psychedelics will come in stronger and stronger and stronger until you get the lesson. And that's generally how it works.
When you say the psychedelics, are you seeing stuff or just hearing stuff in your head or what's happening?
Both. It can be a variety of different things. So some people see things, some people don't see anything the whole time, but they're just purging because their body has to be clean so they can get the intelligence.
Forget being nervous about going the day before. I'm nervous that I'm sitting in Australia.
I'm nervous talking about it.
Just on that then, like you've gone to the 22 ceremonies, it's 4 in a week, you've gone done 22 nights of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you still feel nervous on the 22nd time? Or is it like, talk to Peter, because I sort of know the story, when you actually disrespected a little bit, you got your ass handed to you one of those times. So I'm keen to hear that story.
Oh, yeah. And first let me answer the psychedelic thing. Remember as a kid, a kaleidoscope, and you'd look through the tube and you could turn and there were those colours. Imagine that, and it's just everywhere and it is super, super bright. And within that pattern, there's like a message and it's like talking to you, this pattern that's there. And you're like mesmerized by it and it's perfect and it's beautiful. And if you went to it and you almost expand it, there'll be something in there, like a pattern, like the flower of life or something, like a little fractal. And you realize, as she's showing you, everything's energy and this is how perfect it is. And this is just so beautiful. You have that moment. And then she goes, but then there's a distortion. And then you'll just have this feeling come up in you or a memory come to you of a time when you're out of alignment, right? Because something happened in your life and that can come up. So the moment James is talking about is...
I can feel you out of, you're like wigging out. You're like, oh my God.
It's definitely a woman. It goes from this to this. So much.
Just when you get relaxed, just, you know, something's coming. What?
Totally.
Men just wander around this world wondering what the hell just happened. What did they do wrong?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so jokes aside, so you're seeing this beautiful perfection and then just when you're lulled into this sense of security, something comes up that you need to perhaps deal with or confront that could be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, what it was that first night, you're asking, what's the first time you take it like? Well, like, we'd flown all that way and we got out of line and you line up and you get in front of the shaman and they're telling you to repeat your intention, which is night one, the intention. They tell you what your intention is. Show me who I've become. Okay, show me who I've become. They give you the stuff, I drink it. It's not really that bad. Like now I can't even stand the smell of it. I haven't been around it. So I think it's like hardwired into me that if you're anywhere near that stuff, it's going to... Blah, blah. But the first time, I actually got it down quite fine. Went back, lay there, you know, meditate, I'll relax. Nothing happened. I lay there for an hour and a half, didn't get a thing. Like, who wants a second cup? Go up for the second cup. You're not allowed to talk, but I go to Roxanne, are you feeling anything? She, so amazing. I'm getting colors and this and that. Oh, and it's so beautiful. Da, 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 da. I'm thinking, ah, shit, I fucking came all this way. I haven't got a fucking color. Nothing. I like go up there like, you got anything yet, brother? I said, no, I haven't got anything. Give me a big cup, big cup. So it's just a cup. Have another cup, go back, lie there. You're trying to meditate, trying to bring it on, right? I want this. Everyone, it's chaos in the room, crying and flopping around and everyone's got these different things going on. I'm like lying there, zero. And I'm like 2.5 hours into this. Roxy, you're not allowed to be near your partner. She's on the other side of the room. Little do I know, the second cup kicked in for her and she's going through a bloody process on the other side of the room, but I didn't know. So eventually what happened is I gave up. I thought,
it's not going to work, you know? And I was listening to Deepak on the aeroplane over. What would love do? You know what love would do? Just go to bed. You've given it your best go, Pete. Righto. I fluffed up my pillow, got my little blanket. I thought, I've had it for tonight. I'll just pretend to sleep for the rest of the ceremony and wake up when it's over. And as soon as I gave up, it kicked in.
So did you have a white Lamborghini out the front like Leonardo DiCaprio? These qualities have been fucked for 10 years.
The lemons.
So I want to ask you, like, so that's pretty, so I want to get into what actually happened, but I want to jump to the punchline maybe. I don't know what answer you give me here, but was there a profound life-altering realization of trauma in the past for either of you that was revealed to you that was absolutely life-changing that, you know, maybe you'd avoided or, and it helped you through that? Because so many people have childhood trauma.
Once, so for me, when I said then it kicked in, the woman who was maybe three people away from me was crying in a particular tone, and the pitch and the tone of her cry took me back to five, took me to me lying on the bed listening to my mother slumped over the toilet in the bathroom, crying and retching into the toilet over the death of my sister, which had happened earlier that day. So I took my little sister, who was 2.5, I was 5. I took her for a walk after heavy rain, and she fell off the bridge into the stream and drowned and disappeared.
And you took her for the walk.
And I took her for the walk. So that woman over there crying was my mother crying, and it was me listening to that, and it showed me that I'd split from my soul. And it's like, that's why I didn't know who I was. That's why I was disconnected. It was like painful, right? And then it showed mum's perspective, my perspective, and it showed me that I'd carried all this guilt around with me for 35 years, right? It's like I went around trying to please everyone for my whole life, trying to make mum happy, trying to make dad happy, the aunties happy, the uncles happy, the teachers at school, et cetera, et cetera. And I had underlying patterns with females where it's like I never had a girlfriend at school, right? I'm not that bad looking. It's just I was screaming out neediness. It was like I had so much guilt and shame, all of which I've now been shown. Like you ask, you do it all these times, what's the difference? Well, each time you get shown more and more and more about what the false belief is, what the emotion is, why did I choose that as a soul contract before I came in, right? Well, we could go, how deep do you want to go? It's like, I chose that before I came in. Why? Because I came in to learn the soul lesson of unconditional love. So the way my soul has chosen to experience unconditional love was a life where I'd experienced the opposite of unconditional love. And particularly that was cutting with me to myself. The guilt, the shame, I wouldn't even allow myself to be too happy or feel too free because of what I'd done. I mean, because of what you've, how are you allowed to be too happy or too free, you know, after what's happened?
I find it a profoundly interesting that you can talk about that, and I can see that you have kind of healed there. Like, not many people could get through the words you just said and without falling apart, which is just, and it's not that you don't care or that it, but there's just been, it appears to be just genuine healing over something so freaking intense, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's 25, you know, someone says, oh, you're one of four boys. Hey, mum never got a daughter. Well, I just say, yeah. Nothing more to say, you know. So I would, no, I didn't know, like looking at photo albums. I wouldn't look at photo albums. My boys would go to mum and dad's and pull out the photo albums and want to look through, and I wouldn't want to look.
Yeah, of course.
You don't want to go there, you know. It was harsh, hard. So the patterns, like, the patterns are so deep. It's like she shows me things like everything that happens to my physical body, all my injuries are on the left side. broke the left foot, broke the left toe, broke the left arm, squashed the left finger in the door. Like growing up in life, I didn't know that's the female side of the body. And that can be a physical manifestation of an imbalance in the masculine or the feminine. I didn't know any of this stuff. Like I'm just living through life. And the way I was in our relationship, the way I was with my relationship with my three daughters, even my ex-wife, it was all a reflection of an unhealed version of me that I didn't even know. So I was mindlessly following these patterns and I didn't even realize it. And now I know what the patterns are. And now I've forgiven myself. And now I've connected more within the reason why it happened in the first place, which I didn't push her off the bridge. Like I loved my sister. She was like the only sibling I had at that time. I just saw it happen. But I assigned a meaning to it, which had upset me for 35 years. And all of a sudden I went, oh, hang on. It's like I've carried guilt and shame and all of these emotions buried in me. You know, on the surface, it's all fine. But deep down underneath, those patterns are pulling the strings of how you respond and act and what you do and don't do in your life. And that's what cleared it. So that's an example of one of many deep things personally for myself, but Roxy's had equally as deep as well. Yeah.
So you sort of, you know, jump on the plane to go there to hold space for your wife and have that experience. And then Roxy, what was happening for you?
Oh, so much. I don't even know where to begin. Yeah, I had a lot in my childhood. My dad used to beat up my mom when I was in the womb when that was happening. He was in jail when I was born, so I, you know, didn't feel loved or, you know, celebrated that I was arriving to this world. And so there was, you know, rejection within me, and it showed me all of this. I was in my mother's womb in a psychedelic journey on one of the first or second night. And a man, the room works with each other. It's like an orchestra. It's like a band that's working together. The medicine is so intelligent. And a man, the only guy that wore black, because we all wear white in ceremony, good vibes, you know, but someone wore black and that's okay. But he took the medicine and basically screamed and screamed and screamed psycho, like the sound of a man beating up a woman sound. And it frightened the heck out of me. And I was in my mother's womb as an infant. It took me back to inside her waters. And the man walked past me. The shamans took him to the toilet to try and soothe him because this was going on for like 45 minutes to an hour by this point. And they went, all right, we need to intervene here because obviously he's having a hard time. So then he cracked in the bathroom and started crying. And I was right near the toilet. I could hear everything that was going on. And I realized my dad was in so much pain. And I went to forgiveness immediately for the behavior that he had. And so when that man started crying in the toilet in this journey, I just started losing it because I didn't hold that fear now anymore. You know, I knew that he was sorry in a way. He didn't mean to do it. You know, his addictions, his drug and alcohol addictions, his addictions of anger, it was all coming from an unhealed place of his childhood where he got beat up. He got made to do things or made just, you know, felt unloved. And so we're only all just learning these principles now of conscious parenting and how delicate we all really are. And so whatever environment we're in as a child under the age of 7, our subconscious mind is basically in a hypnotic state at that point, hypnotized. In the last the last quarter of a baby's growth in the mother's womb, the subconscious is just pulling in any energies from the exterior world that the mother is actually in, and any emotions the mother is feeling through that pregnancy is all going into the baby's subconscious, right? So my dad got arrested on Christmas Eve, you know, drunk, and so he wasn't there Christmas morning. And the medicine showed me all this. My mother hasn't told me any of this. She confirmed it when I got back because it was so insane what I was getting. And you question it. You think, how could this has even happened? But the medicine is just so smart. It's telling you because you're looking for the answers to heal. It will support you for the truth. And so everything that's in that environment, what my mother was going through of that fear when the police came through the house, I was in the womb, it showed me her panic and everything that was going on within her just suppressed like a sponge into my subconscious.
And so no wonder why I had anxiety. No wonder why I had panic, stress, worry. You know, we get up on stage in front of 3,000 people at your Amazon conference and I'm like crying, fearing for my life because it was overwhelming the energy, which probably brought me back, which I didn't know at the time, to a similar root causal emotion in the womb, right? So you look at that, you see it, and you start to purge out these feelings and emotions. And then eventually the energy will subside and you won't bring that law of attraction into your vortex anymore, right? You've learned the lesson. You've confronted that. You've looked it in the eye and you went, yes, okay.
So is it when you get that awakening, is there like work to do after it, or is it to magically disappear, or is it just something you now know and you work on afterwards? What's the process once you've had the epiphany?
Yeah, I think there is like 50% of the work is on the mattress in the ceremony and then 50% of the work is in real life, right? It's like practice. And so like you will attract things into your life and you go, oh my God, why is that happening? Nothing's a coincidence with law of attraction. Everything's coming into our vortex, our field to, you know, as a gift, a reward, or like a lesson, which is also a gift because it's growth, right? We don't get much spiritual growth sitting and doing nothing, you know, and not having any activity in our life. We're expanding souls. And so this is very fascinating for us because as we started to integrate, we saw our law of attraction changed. And that's when we started to create our business, Awakening Education, and realize we weren't just here for service to self. We're here for service to self first, and then it's a natural progression to help other people from the heart, though, not from an egoic way, right, to gain. So we moved into this consciousness work and we work in flow now. We really like our lifestyle now. We're balanced, you know, but there's always more to learn. Don't get us wrong. There's always more expansion, but we've pockets of consciousness has opened up. And now it's like you see so much more. The blinkers are off now, you know. You can see through the illusion of this planet and what's happening, whereupon the biggest shift, you know, humanity's ever seen, the Great Awakening is really here. We're really seeing this globally, right? And so these stories and this inner healing is what we can do to help the planet, right? It's the inner journey, not the outer journey now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, like hearing you talk, you said something quite quickly in passing. You said you realized how fragile we all are. And I think particularly in Australia and particularly with men in Australia, they don't like to think of themselves as fragile. No, but it is interesting. I remember when I was in my late 20s, I haven't done very many drugs in my life. I've done some. I went through a phase here and there. But one night I was in Sydney and I smoked a joint with a friend. And he went home and then I was lying on the couch and I had this, I don't know how long it lasted. It might've been, I don't know, 10 minutes, but I had this 10 minute period where my life in my head was like one of those old fashioned Rolodexes where I could go right back to day one in my life and go stop. And I could remember being in my crib in the hospital room where I was born. And there was an awareness of exactly where I was in the room. And I was like maybe a day or two old. And then I could fast forward and I could go to another moment. I could remember what color my dad's t-shirt was when I was five.
Wow.
You know, and it was crystal clear in every detail, but it only lasted 10 minutes and I've never been able to get that back there again. And so when you were telling me these stories of there's this memory in your body of everything, it's all there. We just sort of can't access it in normal states of mind. And we do, it's resonating so deeply with me about how we operate in patterns that are formed that we don't even know that were formed long ago, from the most inconsequential moments, perhaps, that you can't remember, or they are hugely consequential, that shape our life and the way we do life as adults. And we're just completely unaware that we are running on these patterns and forgiveness and all that. So I think it's amazing work. So ayahuasca is one of quite a few things that you've done. And all of this is, you've got a show on the Gaia Network. For those who don't know, the Gaia Network has a huge spiritual TV network in the US. They have about nearly 1 million subscribers to this network and you have a show in there. What's the name of the show?
Portal to the Palladians.
Portal to Palladians. This is a whole other area of your life, which we might touch on as well. And the Netflix show has got a working title that you're talking to them about. What's the working title of that one?
Elevated Healing.
And that's about all this, right?
Yeah.
This is about the plant medicine journey. Okay, so you went and did it the first time. You experienced these incredible breakthroughs and you went back a bunch more times. I imagine it sounds like you're taking people there sometimes for those reasons, and then other times you went yourself. Is that kind of the...
Yeah, we went back there the end of last year. We took a group of people with us, and then we'd been back once ourselves before that as well, just to go back to where it all began, so to speak. And
it's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period, and with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You can get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
It's very interesting. We got the news that Guy had taken our show on board when we were there back the second time. It's like the universe playing with you, but you know, it's like I didn't even know what Guy was, right? When we first went over there, and then that started, and then you know, when we take people back now, and you go, well, what could you possibly be doing all these times now? What you're getting warm as to what it is. It's like my grandfather was in a POW camp, right? When the Germans invaded Holland, he got put in a POW camp. So basically almost died, you know, like his clothes, lost all his teeth and basically bad, bad, bad. And then somehow got out of there, but then got accused of being a traitor. So there was all this lack, betrayal, lack, not trust, suspicion.
So this medicine takes you beyond your own life.
Beyond your own life to your DNA that's in you. He's Peter Hoagland number one. Then there's my dad, Peter Hoagland. I'm number three. And it's showing me, it's like the psychedelic showing me that it's in my DNA. It's in my genetic blueprint, as well as all the distortions that he had in terms of things that therefore he did as a response to that, which I can, in a sense, help him with. And it's like, I know it sounds like just so incredible, but like Mother Ayahuasca is showing you, help your granddad with his lack of forgiveness to himself because he was so hard on himself. And it's like, as that shifts in this experience, I feel within myself, all this forgiveness come through for all the times when I've, whatever.
Well, listening to you guys, I think there's quite a few people listening that would be like, I would love to go down this rabbit hole, but I'm worried that if I do, I ain't coming back. And if I don't go down it with my partner, I'm going to lose them.
Mm.
Is that a real thing that you've seen and experienced?
Look, we work with a lot of people and we see this. We're obviously fortunate that we're doing it together. And that is, you know, really unique, and we don't take it for granted. Like, it's huge that we can understand each other and sit in the same ceremony and go through the same process, because a lot of partners can't, because one will be out, the other one will be keen.
Because if your wife came home and started talking this stuff and you're just laying bricks all day and to do with this
conversation, why are you polar?
Totally. So we understand.
My great granddad knows, like, yeah, but this, my husband's gone crazy.
Yeah, totally. But I think once, you know, don't think, you know, when we hang out with people, we become their energy too. So if one, like, if I went on this path, Pete probably pick up the energy flow because we live together, right? So it's going to help him. Like, it's energy sharing. So it will bring him up in his vibration to open and, you know, spark that soul to learn, to want to be a little bit more curious. And it might be a little bit slower, but it's still going to have an effect,
right? It's like the meme of the matches, one match will light the whole kind of thing. And that's what's happening now.
That's great.
And what I might also add is to not do it and deny the self in order to stay with someone when something's underneath broken, you've only got one life. So that's the wrong reason to not learn to heal yourself because you're worried it'll move you away from your partner. That's a trap, see? So there's traps or patterns. So that's a like a fear thing. And if you see that, you'd go, because she's got things. I get the same lesson over and over and over. The truth shall set you free. You got to know the truth. Like that line is huge. I've had challenging nights on that line. Truth shall set you free. And we've got free will, so we can choose. So we owe it to ourselves to be the best version of ourselves and to vibrate our unique spark of the divine, our authenticity, our soul song. We owe it to ourselves to express that out in our life. That's a life well lived. And unfortunately, if you're with someone who can't support that, then you've got to make a choice what you choose. But either way,
there ain't no running from it. Let's talk about psilocybin for a minute. Is that a
ayahuasca? I mean, you could sit here for probably another couple of hours and talk about night two, night three, night four.
Yeah,
but I mean,
of course.
But then we only have limited time. But you know, what else is in the mainstream that people have been talking about quite a lot?
Because it's psilocybin and DMT. You guys have done the frog, the toad, or whatever, all these other ones. But I think if we just limit it to these, because psilocybin's really hitting mainstream now, particularly in the US, with people being treated for post-traumatic stress and all sorts of things. Maybe you could talk us through like your experience with psilocybin. Because just for people listening, the Netflix show, the premise of it is, the one that they're in discussions at the moment, you guys basically just did everything on camera, right? So you did the toad, you did psilocybin, you did mushrooms, you did all this stuff. And then this is us doing it. And they filmed you going through it. Is that basically it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Can't wait to see.
Yeah. So just for the audience too, psilocybin, I think, is probably the kind of pronunciation of it. And it's basically what they formally call a magic mushroom. So just out there, mushrooms, but in a more controlled environment, and not like you're a farm boy like we used to do, go picking them out of the paddock and making manual juice stuff and feed them lost for days. We used to pick big bags of them, but in a more controlled environment these days. And
so going down to Glen Innes and finding a cow patch is not the way to go?
Oh, man, it is. Okay, you just don't know how much you're having. That's the issue.
Let's find out the safer way than
The idea of that show was to talk about how a lot of these healing modalities can help to expand consciousness, like help people to understand the self. So our first real experience with, we both of us didn't really smoke marijuana at all. We had our moments as kids, but I never had it in the top drawer and, you know, sneak out the back and have billies. I didn't, because see, when you go back to what my emotional injury was, I was shy, not confident, and didn't really like inward reflection. So if I'm going to smoke that and get paranoid, that's just not my thing, right? Mm. So fortunately, at that time, I found beer and ecstasy tablets, and that helped bring me out of my...
I love that, Beth. Fortunately, I didn't smoke pot, but I got on the stingers instead.
But now you see why you did it, right? Because I wasn't worthy without it, right? It's like I needed a permission slip to allow me to have the confidence to pretend to play a role that I'm confident that I could talk to a girl or try and tune.
Which just explains why there's so much devil's dandruff on the Gold Coast. Nobody's got the confidence. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, but you can see, right, that there is an underlying pattern there. Like right away, that is, well, I'm not good enough. And so if I have this, it stokes up my ego. I feel better about myself. And that's what keeps people coming back for the feeling, right, of that thing. So you learn to see your own patterns. It's like, call it. It's like the truth, remember? It's like, fine, I don't mind saying I had a pinger. It used to be great back in the day, right? It's like, I haven't touched anything like that for years. But those different experiences were like, let's call it, brought to a head with ayahuasca, because we didn't know, but we were like doing the mother of all psychedelics first. I'd never done mushrooms, now I had psilocybin ever. Didn't know anything about it. I hadn't smoked a joint for 25 years. It's like, did the ayahuasca, wow. We made a show on that too, by the way. It was called Ayahuasca, Source for the Soul.
Where can people watch it?
Is that on our YouTube?
Yeah.
It's on our Pete and Roxy YouTube channel.
So, what is that YouTube? Just so people can look it up. Just Pete and Roxy. Pete and Roxy.
Yeah.
What was it? The title?
Ayahuasca, Source for the Soul.
Ayahuasca, Source for the Soul. I don't know how to spell ayahuasca. So you said,
no, it's tricky.
It's a good one.
So talk us through the mushies, right? So yeah. There's a lot of people listening that like have all sorts of ideas about mushrooms. One of my best mates got married and then they got on the mushrooms as soon as they said their vows and had the most epic party afterwards. People have all sorts of ideas about mushrooms.
What do you think's happening after this show, eh? We can sit there and you're full of porker out there getting ripped up.
Right, that's cool. So tell us about what it is. Like, so you were saying it's kind of a step down from ayahuasca, but in terms of intensity and whatever.
Yeah, so we felt called to go and showcase a whole lot of other modalities for healing if someone wasn't really all in on ayahuasca, because it's a big journey. You know, it's a 6-hour journey on the mat. It's once you're on, you can't get off. It's a big journey. So we discovered in California, the state of California, a lot of these other psilocybins and DMT and psychedelics are actually legal through the churches as a sacrament. Okay, so that's how they're getting around. Shamans and facilitators are being able to hold these ceremonies in order to do that. So we filmed a show, an 8-part series, discovering all of these different modalities in California. So it was legal, right? And so we would get a facilitator in, teach us all about the medicine or whatever modality we were doing, and learn about the ins and outs of it, filmed it. And then filmed a ceremony of us actually applying it and doing it ourselves. So psilocybin mushrooms is like a DMT that's activated in the pineal gland and it's helping consciousness. So it's like a quarter of a strength of maybe an ayahuasca journey in comparison. It's, you take some and half an hour later you start yawning, you might feel a little bit in your belly and all of a sudden the way you ingest it is some shamans put it with chocolate and make a nice little chocolate square so it's not so bad tasting. Or you can put the powder, grounded up powder of the mushrooms in a little bit of water and drink it. And so then half an hour later, 45 minutes later, the medicine should be working and you'll feel the effects of it, big yawns to know that it's coming. And then the best way to do this journey is to close your eyes, right, with an intention. So have a, candle, have some nice moonlighting, some beautiful music, have a like someone holding space for you in case you need that support that's not on the medicine. And then you're going on a journey and it's about a 2-hour journey. And so depending on your intention and what you get out of it, it's just opening up consciousnesses in your mind, kind of like popcorn going off in the microwave, you're popping and you're getting, so many profound knowings. You're like, oh, wow. And you're seeing all of this stuff, not only about yourself, but the world. And so it's really, it minimizes anxiety and stress. A lot of practitioners over there are using that for that reason.
So people have a bad, I feel anxiety hearing this because I don't like being out of control. I don't know what you're like, James.
I'm finding the next deal around the street. Let's hit it.
You're into it. Yeah. I'm anxiety just listening to this. And so that's probably something in me. Is it always a nice experience or are there times where you're like, those popcorns are horror shows?
And also just on that note too, like that's for an experience, like you're talking like this sort of similar to ayahuasca. You hear a lot in the on the grapevine about microdosing. So there's different types of outcomes that you're after as well. So I think it'd be pretty interesting to understand how that works.
The grapevine. Asking for a friend, are we jokes?
Yeah. Knows a lot about it.
I think
the microdosing is the way to go for someone. Like if you're feeling sensitive and already when you're hearing this energy, you might be more sensitive. We're all different and that's not like weakness in your masculinity. It's just sensitive. It means that you could probably channel and tune into your higher self very easily, right? Your sensitivity is a gift. And so this masculine world is very, and macho, but it's not
truth. It's like, it's better to be sensitive so you can read energy and understand emotions. That's intelligence and soul expansion. But for someone like yourself and myself, a microdose program would be beneficial. So it's where you're taking a little tiny point of the mushroom, like into your system, and it's really gradually making a shift, right? So you, if you feel like you have to lay down, you've taken too much for a microdose, right? So you should be able to operate and do this in your own home in the afternoons and nights, nice time, because you've got the safety of your home, put on the nice music, watch a sunset. But if you feel like if you need to lay down, you've taken too much, you know, to back it up a bit. And so over time, this will help the neural pathways. So think about like your anxiety, false beliefs, pain from your childhood, all in your neural pathways and subconscious mind are all these programs, right? Hardwired in, like what I was talking about before, in the first 7 years of your life, you're just getting pounded with programs in what's in your reality. And so these beliefs start to form and these fears start to form, right? These emotions. And so in your neural pathways, like if you think about like a hose, like a garden hose, when we hold the hose, we can stop the water. So that means the energy stops going through the hose. When we release it, the water will come back through the hose, right? So it's like that applied to your neural pathways. There's just little blocks all in your neural pathways from stress, anxiety, and all these experiences that have happened over time. And so what the medicine of the mushrooms are doing are firing through the neural pathways to release that energy on a very subtle level, right? Obviously, if you're doing ayahuasca, it's like blasting through, right? But like this is a very really good way for people to heal and elevate and understand themselves. So then they can, you know, walk into an interview, they can do things that they couldn't do and that crippled them previously.
So on a practical level, if there's an Australian listening to this that's willing to break the law at home, like how does one microdose? Like, not say you should do this at home, guys. This is just people talking on the internet. You should talk to a doctor and all, every disclaimer imaginable. But let's say I did want to, asking for a friend. Like how do people just grow this at home and then just like chop off a little bit? Like what's a little bit, what's a lot? Like, you know, you go into a weed store in LA, you say, hey, how strong are these? And they're like, oh, you know, just bite the leg off. And you're like, dude, that's not like a dosage, right?
I know that one.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Sprung is that leg. So like
when it comes to like doing that, what are people honestly doing like in Australia if they're wanting to try this?
Mm.
Not that you would know anybody like that.
Mm. I don't know anybody, but you need a facilitator that knows what they're doing so they can instruct you, right?
Go and do it somewhere legal, but.
Yeah.
I'll get a bone. That.
And like it's important to realize that plants are powerful. They all have different strengths. And so the batch that you might get previously mightn't be the same batch as you get the next time. So always like it's like going on a first date. You don't all go all in the first night, James. You're just going to you're just getting to know this other energy, right? And you take it easy. So it's important to realize that they're very powerful allies and they want to help you, but you need to treat them with respect. And when you don't treat these plant medicines with respect, you know, they'll kick you and you'll get a kick. And that's when maybe you have a bad one, like you started saying before. I've had a bad experience before, you know, on the mushrooms, and that scared me. But it also made me more vulnerable and softer to realize I'm not in charge, I'm not in control, and, you know, bend over and be like, I'm sorry. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Mr. Universe or Mrs. Universe. Okay. I'm listening now.
Because it's an illusion that we're in control. Yeah. Right? That's. Everything's out of control. We like to paint the picture that we're in control because it makes us feel better and feel safe. I think of, you know, a lesson recently on the medicine when the laughing Buddha came to me. Remember, you know, that statue? I never really understood it. I just knew the Buddha was laughing. But I got it when I was on the ayahuasca. I'm like, oh, I see why the Buddha's laughing, because it's an illusion that people are controlling everything and they're influenced by everything and they assign meaning to things which they could assign a different meaning to, and there's all these different things going on. And it's like, just don't take yourself and life too seriously. Enjoy it. Lighten up. That's why the value of freedom like, is such a huge thing, which is, you know, why this podcast is so great, because it's in a way talking to people about creating more freedom. Because, you know, I just couldn't think of anything worse than walking into an office and there's some boss tapping the watch because I'm 5 minutes late. That's like, for me, that's just the definition of get me the heck out of here, you know.
That does drive a lot of our work, and why I'm so fascinated by this. I mean, I'm genuinely, personally, because I know James is.
Yeah. So that's on a short note for the mushrooms, ayahuasca mushrooms. What's DMT?
Dimethyltryptamine. So that's the active ingredient in ayahuasca and psilocybin, and it's found within the body. And when we did the series, so there was just back to psilocybin really quickly, we interviewed doctors over there. We interviewed people from the church who were giving out like the pills for microdosing. So it was all measured, days of the week, a program, protocol, all properly done.
So you can do that in LA where, where it's measured properly. Yep. So you're not like relying on your mate Darryl to kill you. You're just not a strong one.
No. And it's all like, let's call it.
That's like, how strong is it, mate?
You'll be right.
See, that terrifies me. Darryl fucking terrified.
This is all like a protocol and a plan, and there's the you know, the easy, the medium, the hard, whatever it is.
And it's properly dosed.
And it's properly dosed and capsuled up and measured and the whole thing. And we interviewed the doctor who was in and around this, and he said, the post-traumatic stress, the insomnia, the results with people with anxiety. There's a medication they all take over there. I can't think of it right now for their anxiety.
The beta blocker.
Yeah. Mm. There's a word I forget. I didn't even know it. And the last time I went to the ayahuasca retreat, it was like every second person's hooked on.
Not Valium.
No, but like that. But it's this new, it's like a cool thing and they take a, it's a prescription. Description, James would find it on ChatGPT, so no doubt he's always quick on that. But anyway, these programs like are all very, very measured, but the healing that Roxy's talking about of the brain is being assisted by the DMT, which is being released through the aid of these plant medicines. DMT is in our body. Well, when you smoke DMT, dimethyltryptamine, that's like the synthetic version of this. So that episode was so cool because we basically got to meet this guy who's like, you know, the Breaking Bad guy of DMT. So he's a professor, teaches at the university.
Heisenberg.
not that guy, but what's Hynek?
Paul Hynek.
Paul Hynek, right? His father was Alan Hynek. He was the guy who did the UFO classifications, you know, first encounter of the first kind, second kind, third kind, consulted to that movie. So he's all in and around that whole realm. And Paul starts like working with a protocol for DMT. So that's who we interviewed for that episode. Mm. And I smoked DMT for the very first time on camera. And
yeah, it's like on camera. I remember we're doing this on camera. It's like another level.
You got it. Because I've heard about this, and apparently the DMT molecules, like when you die or something, it's released into your system or something. But anyway, tell us the story, Pete. You're there, camera's rolling. You start smoking.
And I've got to set the scene because it's like I've just arrived in LA. I'm driving on the wrong side of the road down the 405 in my little blue Prius. Like it's anxiety just to get to the place where there's the cameras and the whole thing and there's the guy there and, oh, that's my cat called DMT Cat. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm not sure if I'm, like, ready for this.
Were you there, Rox?
Yeah. You know, Roxy's there. And we, like, fully, we interview him, we get ready, and then we've got to go over to this place and there's spiraling stuff on the walls and, like, you don't know what you're really getting yourself into. And he goes, here's the thing, and da-da-da, you've got to take three long, slow, deep puffs, and away you'll go. And what I've got to say is it was, like, bloody amazing. For me, it was like what I would imagine getting in a space shuttle, a rocket ship's like, and blasting off into space. You know, it's like when Star Trek does the quantum drive thing or whatever it is, and they go, shh. I went, like, off into space. It was like I went to heaven, to the pearly gates. There were spiral staircases, golden arches, like the Akashic records of the books of knowledge and everything. And I was like looking in all the different rooms, and it was like whispering me about laws of the universe. And it was like so bloody good. Like I was like, far out, this is epic. And then I've got woken out of it for the sound of Roxy crying.
Sorry.
So perhaps you could share what was going on for you, because that was my first experience.
It didn't last long.
No,
10 minutes.
It's a quick one.
But for you, what were you getting?
For me, it took me to before my soul came in to the embryo and what I was about to go on, the voyage of my life in the early years. And I like freaked out and started crying because I realized that it had to show me I signed up for all of this stuff before I came to soul expand, right? But it had me back coming down into the third dimension, into my mother's womb, into the embryo to create life. And I realized why I had so much pain, and I always resist. You know, I was rejecting this human experience because of all the pain that I was going to go through. So through that process of crying and releasing, I was able to heal it. Yeah. By accepting.
I think she was looking at heaven going, can I go back up and change? Well, I don't want to come in. Yeah, it's going to be shit.
Would it be sort of like, it sounds like this, you know, like a micro version of the ayahuasca experience, like a 10-minute version if you're like a settled soundbite at a time.
Yeah.
This would be a good one for anyone just trying to, you know, dabble. Yeah, dip their toe in.
Adam, we should Dutch you up the porch later, mate. Get in there and speak crack at it.
What I would say about the DMT is it didn't feel healing, so to speak. Yeah. It was psychedelics and great, but
very mental.
Just this, and it's over before you know it. I wished it would have gone on. And so that's like what one episode of the show's like, right? And then we go 2 days later, the Joshua Tree, and we're meeting with the church people who've got the mushroom sacraments, and we interview them all about how they do it and da-da-da-da-da. Then we get the doctor in, and he goes, oh, it works with this, that, and the other. And then old mate, what was the name of that mushroom he pulled out? I'd never seen a mushroom like it. It was like this long and thick, and it was called like a thrasher or something.
No. Raised and look at something from another store.
Like a penis envy. It's like penis envy or something. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't want that one.
And he's like, this is the one you're having. And I'm like, far out. So then that's the next episode. So they mix it up in doses. And I'm like, and we go out under the stars, and there's a little setting and the whole thing, and there's cameras and all the people watching. And we had to sit there and navigate a mushroom journey like on camera. It was a hell of an experience.
Like we're looking at everyone because they're all not taking mushrooms.
Oh, so you're both doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's no like I'll look after you in case it fucks
no,
up.
No.
Right.
The crew's there to look after us. And they're all looking at us. I just couldn't get over that we're taking drugs and getting filmed at the same time. It's so weird. Like it was such a weird experience. So, hey.
There's some amazing videos on YouTube of soldiers back in I think it was the 50s. They gave them acid, and they filmed them, and you can watch them on YouTube. I don't know if you've ever seen them. And the doctor's getting them to describe what they're seeing as they're on acid. But they're fascinating to watch. And you can just see them like these hard soldiers just completely transform in front of you. All housewives and normal people just on acid. It's really interesting to watch. I know the Australian Federal Drug Enforcement Agency is probably watching this guy. These fucking guys are making their job very hard.
Just to be clear, so DMT is actually made natural in your body, but the DMT that this guy's, it's a chemical.
Yep.
Right.
What is it, like a rock or something?
Synthetically made. It had already been put in a vape pen, so I didn't see what it actually looked like. So you just had to like smoke a vape. Right, and it just tasted like tropical or whatever the flavor is, right? It's actually fine. But that one was like amazing psychedelics. But, you know, there were some that weren't particularly pleasant as well. And, you know, we did these different medicines, and it's like some of them, you know, if someone says it's very cleansing, now I know what that's code for.
Wear your brown suit.
I literally said that in the episode. It's like, where was the tip on the black undies? It's like, really? And I said, why is the bucket so big? And they're like, you'll need that bucket. And like, I was throwing up in that bucket, you know, like it was this is like supposedly the best way to detox your internal organs, right? This thing called Combo. And
sounds like you threw them up.
Yeah. Well, what happens is it forces all of the toxins out of your organs into your stomach, and it all goes into the stomach and builds up. It gets to this point and you purge it out. And literally 20 minutes after the ceremony was over, the whites of my eyes were pure white. The skin was radiant. That afternoon we'd finished filming. It was late afternoon. Went for a swim in the beach, taking the kids, kicking the football. It was like I was full of life, full of energy. And I'd done this ceremony that morning.
Had your kids with you as well?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, they didn't come to set.
They weren't on set for that with a nanny there to look after them.
So the Cambo, it cleaned you all out. And
yeah,
you've done all these. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So this is all on film?
It's all on film.
You're just puking your guts out.
Yeah.
I can't
he sounded like he was giving birth in the Cambo episode. I just want to note that.
Is that right? Nice.
And then, of course, you know, there's Kundalini activations and there's the ice bath and sound healing. And the other one that's notable mention is called the Sonoran Desert Toad,
right.
Bufo. So that's 5-MeO. That's the one that Tony Robbins and Mike Tyson famously spoke about on a podcast, both saying it blew their mind. I was really excited to get that one into the show because I thought we were going to do ayahuasca in that program, but Mother Ayahuasca just didn't seem to want to go. It just kept getting blocked. It wasn't happening. It kept falling through. Production people are going, we got to come up with something else. I go, I know straight away. So that Bufo experience was amazing.
Where they put like frog poison into you?
That's the Combo.
That's the Combo. Mark, so what's the desert toad?
Yeah, that's called Bufo.
Bufo. What is it?
So it's called 5-MeO. It's supposedly the strongest hallucinogen that you can have. And that's the one where I felt like I was like a molecule in nature, like floating through the air, getting absorbed by the leaflets of the tree, going then down the branches into the stem, down through the trunk, then into the ground, then feeling the spin of Mother Earth and just like.
I think that's where you need to start, mate. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Just to kick off the journey.
Mate, it was so like, you know, everything you hear, everything's energy. You read it in these books. Oh, everything's energy. It just changes forms and states, but we're all one and blah, blah, blah. I tell you what, you have a couple of puffs of that and you actually experience it was in a vape pen as well, 10 or 15 minutes.
All right, so short acting as well. So you can jump off the ride after a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Like 10 or 15 minutes or does it feel like 10 or 15 days?
Once again wish it would have, you know, kept going as well. For me, absolutely beautiful. But once again, Roxy, she was delicate. She had a bit of an experience for the Bufo, right?
Yeah. Look, I'm sensitive. I'm going to put my hand up. Like I came in to experience emotion and that's okay. Like, so I go deep on my healing and it's like, you know, it leads us to awarenesses higher and beyond us, you know, so connecting to, you know, higher vibrational beings and being able to channel ourself and source and have knowings and clarity and precision. It helps clear your consciousness so you can see things. So sensitivity is a very good thing. I mean, Bufo certainly kicked me again, but you know, you go in respecting these plants, right? Like you can't go in thinking that you're better than them. That's for sure. Cause you know, they're powerful.
Oh, I would not have that problem. Trust me. I know, with lots of respect, and please be kind to me.
I know.
So let's talk, because we're running out of time, unfortunately, but it's such a fascinating subject. So you guys are no longer insurance agencies owners, and you're no longer Amazon sellers, are you? Or just
no.
So you guys are full-time with your education business. And I remember when you were going through this journey and we spoke a bit and I sort of said to you, you should lean into this. I think there's a lot of interest in it when we're up in Noosa that day and then you were just starting on. And now you're sort of living a life where you're getting paid to take people on these educational journeys. Sometimes it sounds like you're taking people to retreats and doing stuff. So, and you're also dealing with Netflix. So maybe you could talk to us just quickly about Because I think from an entrepreneurial point of view, there's probably a lot of people wondering what it's like to do a Netflix and in the early stages of interest and negotiations. And then also just tell us a little bit about your business and what you do and how people can connect with you if they want to be in touch. So how did the Netflix thing come about? Was that as off the back of Gaia? And if it was, how did the Gaia thing come about?
Yeah, I think just the creation got turned on in us. So a lot of us are like contracted in creation and enjoyment because of the pain of your suppressed emotions, right? So once we started to heal and elevate, moved out of service to self to service to others, we started to think, okay, how can we have a big impact that could help through our own journey and let other people know that it's okay if you're feeling these things and these plant medicines or these ways could help you too. So the desire then to create our first five-part series, which is Portal to the Palladians, it's where we talk about our journey doing plant medicine, awakening, and then starting to channel galactic, right, galactic Palladian beings and how this remote viewing gift and ability was getting turned on. So it's like a channeling ability essentially, right, and reading energy. And so we did that and that was successful. We got it on Gaia, and then the desire to do the ayahuasca documentary came and to share the ins and outs of ayahuasca and our journey. It's like a docu-series basically showing our journey and all the principles of ayahuasca of what people could expect if they took it, right? And then in that creation, there was all these other modalities and we're like thinking not everyone's going to go straight into ayahuasca. So we created and went all in to do this TV show, funded it ourselves, produced it ourselves. We got a crew in LA to come and film it and, you know, and we organized that. And then we spoke to a distributor who's getting us on bigger platforms now. So we're kind of doing stepping little steps in towards the bigger global stage. And Netflix, the likes of Netflix, this is a very popular topic at the moment because, you know, the FDA today just approved banning patents on psychedelic exploration. So this is modern times. And so, like you said, divine timing could be in our sale. You know, we've created this show, talking to big players now to get it out there to help educate people and have that positive impact on them.
So you made the show, right? But you filmed it yourself.
Yeah.
How long is each episode, just out of interest?
About 20 to 30 minutes.
So it's quite short eps.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to make a show? How many episodes were in there?
A show can cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight episodes and about $150,000.
Okay. So eight episodes, yeah. $150,000 US to make it. And then you take it and you shop it around and then Netflix could either take it or say, hey, we love it, but we want you to reshoot it and they'll fund it or something. It's so fascinating. Like that's a huge commitment to write out a check yourselves for that.
Well, we kind of did it the wrong way. The normal process would be film a sizzle.
A pilot, yeah.
Yeah, and then go and get a buyer and then, you know, get a buyer to buy the show and fund it and do it that way.
I want to see it. Like, honestly, I really am interested in seeing it. I saw the Netflix mock-up cover that you guys have got and it looks wicked and I really hope it comes out.
Yeah.
The other one that we talk about, the
Palladians one?
Hotel Ayahuasca one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other one we got a lot of interest from was Below Deck, but at the ayahuasca retreat, right? So where the guy that we met when we first went over there, who owns the retreat, he knows us now. And we were talking with him and the idea was to, and this got loosely pitched to a few big shows, but basically it's going to be like a behind the scenes of what it's like running an ayahuasca retreat. So all the people.
Oh, literally, right. That would be awesome.
Because things happen. Things happen, you know.
Oh, my God, of course.
So, yeah, that's in the works at the moment. We're hoping the medicine will support that to be able to create that this year too.
So, wow, that's, and it's, and for us, it's like do what you love and it doesn't feel like you're working, right? It's fun. Like for me to go over there and do that show and they go, oh yeah, you'll be getting interviewed. And it, like the original show that we were talking about was supposed to be serious. Interview the church, interview the doctor, take the mushrooms. But what it turned into was these two people from Australia coming all the way to LA and trying all these different psychedelics and plant medicines, and they make all their Aussie jokes and they have a strange accent, and they, you know, the whole show's funny, right? How can you not be throwing up into a bucket and trying to take yourself too seriously? You've got to.
The Yanks would love you guys. I can see it now.
If you can now understand what they were said at the start of the show about a proper hard right turn from selling insurance to spewing in a bucket for comedic reasons.
I reckon the Aussies, the Americans will love it.
We listen to our voices and our accent and we're like, oh.
You sound so Aussie, both of you. But Roxy, you with the blonde hair. You know, hi everybody, nice to see you. The DMT just kicking your ass out.
Just crying my ass off.
So you've got that. You've got like a production career now as well. But there's the education side. How does that work? Like I've had multiple discussions with you. I'm still not quite sure how it.
In a sense, it's a bit like life coaching for people who are going through a spiritual awakening. So often when someone's getting a life coach, they're just talking about setting goals in their, let's call it physical, emotional, mental, family, whatever, different aspects of life in order to hopefully make themselves feel better and hopefully be relaxed and comfortable, and then they might get to know themselves better. Well, what we go is know yourself first, work on your relationship with yourself first and heal. And when you're healed, often what happens is things start to change and align. So that might mean relationships might change, or it might mean career might change, or it might mean health starts to improve because people drop away things that don't serve them. But they're doing it from a place where they've found themselves and they're healed, and that we sort of hold their hand to navigate them through an awakening. Because what can happen is when you let go of the familiar old, and you're excited about the unfamiliar new, you go through this bit of a desert in the middle, right? There's a moment, you know, you hear people talk about shadow work, right? The shadow work where they got to do their clearing. Well, when you're letting go of all that old stuff and you're excited about the new, but it hasn't come in yet, and you're sort of stuck somewhere in the middle, sometimes people can give up. And they go, you know what? It sounded really exciting, but fucking, I'm just going back to the pub, or I'm just going back to the way I was, or whatever it is, or whatever it was, you know, I just need the money to survive, or et cetera. And I'll just have to roll over and surrender that this is just the way it is. I'm just going to have to live the rest of my life like this. And the answer to that is no, you don't have to just settle. We can all, like, we've got our greatest gift, free will, right? And so often that gets, you know, taken away from us, or through coercion or force or whatever it may be, or we do it to ourselves, right? And we don't listen. So we coach people sort of through that, but then through turning on these gifts and abilities, you turn, like, your intuition goes off the chart. Your ability to come up with ideas that are in line with your passion, like all these things we talk about, yeah, oh, that sounds interesting, oh, that thing's good. Like, all of that comes from the state that you're in. So the how-to courses, we talk to people about, right, clearing their density, all the things that we've learned through our different medicine journeys, like classes and deep meditations, working through each one. And it's to the point now where our intuition, our ability to read energy is like turned right up. Like Roxy is able to, she was speaking to a client this morning, and I could just hear her through. She goes, it happened at 14. Go to 14, go to the emotion where you felt like this and this and this, and it was this sort of situation, and the woman went, oh my God, I've got it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's very powerful. And we all have these gifts. It's just that we're just dense and we have distortions and we're blocked and we're all in our head, you know. So it's nice to help people understand.
So your gift there, Rox, did that just sort of come to the fore after doing all this stuff yourself, or was it there? Did you ever sense that it was there earlier?
I'd meditated before, but on the plane home ride from our first journey to Costa Rica in 2019, after the four nights of medicine, that blew my pineal gland right open. And like, I was seeing interdimensional beings. I was getting taught by my higher self to go learn about the chakras. I didn't even know about chakras or energy centers, right? So we were fully asleep in the third dimension. And then my higher self started channeling in through my pineal gland, and every meditation I'd get instructions to go research something. So then I go research chakras or energy centers and go back to meditation, another pointer, another whisper. We move up and down as vibrational beings. We don't stay up in a one frequency, right? So, when we're in our low frequency, we're moving through a process, we might be lower in vibration. And then when we go up, but we constantly are moving up, right? We don't go up in a straight line. We go up in movement and vibration. So as you tune your vessel and your instrument, being your soul, you start to tune to higher radio stations that you can channel and hear, right? See, hear, feel. A lot of people have different gifts that turn on, and there's many.
So fascinating. I think we could talk all day with you guys. Guys, drop a like and a comment if you've enjoyed the podcast. Let us know what you think. Got questions, drop them in there. Pete and Rox might have a look in there and may answer some. Otherwise, follow them on Instagram at awakening_education, or just go to their website, which is awakening.education. There's no .com, it's just awakening.education, and you can connect with these guys. Guys, thank you so much for coming in today and having this very, very real chat. It's, for me personally, and I think for you, James, it's just so refreshing to have a chat that's not just business.
No, 100%. And also being so vulnerable about your experience as well, because they weren't all, they're fairly personal. So it's nice to have a real chat.
Really enjoyed it, guys. Thank you. And guys, connect with them if you need help getting through the desert or encouraging you into the desert. Then go talk to these guys, because we've known them for, I've seen the complete journey, not the complete journey, but I've seen it from two insurance agents to where you are today. And it's been incredible to see what you've been through, and you can learn a lot more about these guys online. And just remain open, because it's so easy to be judgmental from the outside about somebody's journey and what they're doing. And if you find that popping up for you, ask yourself why. What are you trying to protect about yourself? Because what if they're right? And one of the lessons I've learned over the last little while is I've been wrong a lot, and coming now years later to go, oh wow, I should have listened and paid a bit more closer attention and subjugated my ego a little bit earlier than I did. So be open and that's where the growth and the progress is. Peter and Roxanne, thank you for coming. Great to have you here as always. Can't wait to see where you are in the next little while, but I really hope it's on Netflix, and we'll have a Netflix party, and James, you can bring the snacks if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm 100%, Adam.
Well, watch in a certain state of mind. Thank you for watching, guys. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Unemployable, and we'll see you on the next one.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.